We shall never surrender.
One small step for man.
I have a dream.
Did all those famous people really utter those historic quotes, or has someone been playing jiggery-pokery with the evidence? Professor Buzzkill sets the record straight on Quote or No Quote.
Indeedy, 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 it's Professor Buzzkill with a Quote or No Quote episode for you. At a press conference on August 12, 1986, U.S. President Ronald Reagan said,
"The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
So many short statements, quotes, and even offhand phrases and jokes become engraved in stone as wisdom when they're uttered by someone whom a large part of society already considers a hero or a sage. Even the most facile and simple utterances become maxims when they happen to have come out of the mouths of Gandhi, Churchill, Lincoln, Einstein, Mark Twain, and all the rest. I think this cultural habit is already extreme, it's already problematic, and sometimes dangerous, as I've explained many times in these quote or no quote shows. But this societal tendency seems to be getting worse and more intense with the expansion of the internet and social media. One day, I fully expect the most mundane of statements, "I need to tie my shoes," to be attributed to Einstein and then quoted as scientific wisdom to guide us through this millennium and help us slow down climate change. Such is the case with this statement made by President Ronald Reagan at that press conference in 1986. Reagan summarized his long-held suspicions about the effectiveness and morality of the role of government in people's lives by saying, as you just heard, "The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help." This Reaganism certainly sums up his views on government, even though, as I'll show later, the formulation of this quote and sentiment is hugely problematic. And the quote reappears whenever politicians, in the United States anyway, propose new or expanded government, economic, or social programs. We're seeing it being employed now in reaction to the Biden administration's infrastructure funding proposals. Reagan-worshipping pundits and media outlets trot this out at such times, investing it with gravity and inherent truth as if it came from the Bible or the U.S. Constitution. "Government and government programs make things worse," they argue, "and hurt people." "You're right to cower in fear whenever the government comes to the rescue," they assert, with all the confidence that comes from being backed up by Reagan. But where does this statement actually come from? Like so many famous quotes, it was not coined by the person who gets credit for it, in this case, Ronald Reagan. Researchers here at the Buzzkill Institute, as well as heavyweight quote experts such as Josh Shapiro at the Yale Book of Quotations and Garson O'Toole, which is the pen name of former Johns Hopkins computer scientist Dr. Gregory O'Sullivan at quoteinvestigator.com, have studied this extensively. And they've reached the conclusion that it appeared in the mid to late 1970s as a bit of folksy wisdom sprouting from places like Reader's Digest and humorous columns in newspapers. It may have started as a joke running around the military or large organizations in the 1960s, and the joke went like this. Quote, "The sentence, 'We are here from headquarters to help you,' usually means that your division or part of the organization is about to be given the axe," end quote. But it first started to appear in print in 1973 in a crop production conference report written by the Crop Quality Council, an American farming organization. And I'm not making that up. According to this council, the crop marketplace was performing very well in the early 1970s, but that, quote, "the long arm of government intervention," end quote, was making the future analysis of crop prices uncertain. That prompted the report's writer to state, and I quote, "I would like to tell you an appropriate story. The 3 most unbelieved statements in the world are, 1, the check is in the mail, 2, of course I'll love you in the morning like I do tonight, and 3, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you," end quote. It seems clear from the tone of this witticism that the phrase had been around at least for a little while. Senator Edmund Muskie, Democrat from Maine, was reported to have said to a meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors in Chicago in early 1976, "The 3 most common lies are, I put your check in the mail yesterday, I gave at the office, and I'm from the federal government, and I'm here to help you. U.S. Representative John Russolot, Republican from Southern California, said the same thing in May, calling these promises the three greatest fabrications of all time. Conservative commentator and columnist George F. Will said essentially the same thing in July 1976. The same basic idea was uttered during testimony before the U.S. Senate when they were considering, quote, the extension of the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act. And it appeared the next year during hearing on, quote, economic problems of the elderly in Mississippi in the U.S. House of Representatives. It had clearly become a well-worn observation in political and government circles by the time Reagan said it when discussing government support to farmers during that 1986 press conference you heard at the beginning. And it appeared throughout the 1990s and into the 21st century, especially when right-wing commentators referred to Reagan's political ideology. Controversial writer and friend of the show, Dinesh D'Souza, used it in his 1997 book, Ronald Reagan, How an Ordinary Man Became an Extraordinary Leader. And, as I said in the show's opening, it has reappeared in 2021 during the debates over the Biden administration's plan to drastically increase funding to meet America's infrastructure needs. That's why we're hearing it a lot again lately. So, ordinarily in these quote-unquote shows, I would leave it there, explain the history of the quote, and show that, once again, it wasn't the work of the most famous person who uttered it. But I want to take this discussion a little further and talk about the meaning and utility of this sentiment. The most terrifying words are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. It was and is a moronic and childish thing to say and believe. That's right. I'm saying that Reagan was being moronic and childish when he said it with a grin, that George Will, who with his PhD should know better, was moronic and childish when he wrote it in a column, and that the politicians and commentators who are employing it now are being moronic and childish. It's moronic because even 10 seconds of actual thought makes you realize that being, quote, from the government could mean being from the fire department, from Child Protective Services. In the American context, it could mean from FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency in times of natural disaster, and so many more. It meant the first responders who saved hundreds during the attacks on September 11th and often gave their lives trying to save more. Are we to be terrified when an emergency medical technician uses the jaws of life to extract us from a wrecked automobile that's crushing us? And perhaps most appropriately, given Reagan's worship of the military, are we supposed to have been terrified when American armed forces helped stop a genocidal maniac like Hitler? And I'm not even including the seemingly endless government corporate bailouts, economic incentives, and giveaways to companies to put offices and factories in certain areas, land grants to private institutions, and the ludicrously generous tax breaks given to large corporations and rich individuals in the United States. These are exactly the kinds of terrifying government help that Reagan championed during his administration, and that created some of the largest deficits and biggest federal debt levels in our history. Of course, there have been lots of times when governments, including the U.S. government, have done terrible and indeed inexcusable things, allowing slavery and child labor to exist and thrive, helping to wipe out Native Americans, and so many more. But to lump all government, and by extension societal, attempts at improving people's lives as terrifying oppression is not only historically accurate, but politically dangerous. Countries and societies have always employed mutual aid in order to survive, literally survive. It has worked sometimes in various ways and has not worked other times in other ways. But to abandon the idea is to give in to anarchy, and that's moronic thinking. It's childish because, as I've implied, it's an overly simplistic way of looking at the world, how the world operates, and how we might try to make it operate better. As we keep saying on this show, the supposed wisdom contained in one-liners from famous and iconic people almost always overlook, and sometimes they steamroll, the complexities of social, political, and historical realities. If you have a one-line answer for everything, which Reagan almost always did, you're using schoolyard, it's all one way or the other, na-na-na-na-na rhetoric to address, serious, grown-up, and complicated problems. I open this show by talking about how some reactions to President Biden's infrastructure plans are employing this mantra these days. I've ended it by arguing that this mantra is moronic and childish. But I can't resist leaving you with one more thought. If the American experience of the past few years has taught us anything, it should have been that shallow, stupid, and reactionary approaches to the country's problems only end up hurting us more and putting us in deeper and deeper holes. As Americans, and perhaps by extension, buzzkillers in other countries, we should be asking ourselves, do we really want moronic and childish people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz representing us in the United States Congress and working on writing some of our laws? Because it'll be truly terrifying if we get any more of these types of politicians. And finally, we should also realize that it's our responsibility as voters to make sure this trend towards the terrifying stops. Talk to you next week.